Welcome, Brandon, to the Making Connections podcast. It's a pleasure to have you today.
Hey, Spencer. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So just like with all the other podcasts, I want to get straight into it, and I'll let you talk to all the viewers and let them know how long you've been a registered kinesiologist. And then from there, you can chat them up and let them know your background story.
Yeah, for sure. So I've been an RKIN since 2018. I wrote the exam a few years into my career. Yeah, it's been a good 3 years. Obviously looking forward to keeping that RKIN designation for a long time. So I started out professionally as a registered podorthist. That was back in 2014. So I went to Western University for my undergrad, kinesiologist, like probably everyone listening. I was like every single kinesiologist, just fascinated with your athlete growing up, or you're fascinated with athletics, or you have some injury when you're a kid and you get stuck in some physio clinic numerous times. So through a lot of injuries and a lot of rehab as a kid, multiple broken legs, sprained ankles, you name it, I pretty much every injury under the sun. I had a lot of exposure to not just RKINs really, but just rehab in general. Kinesiology wasn't super popular, sort of in the early 2000s, before we were registered with the Ontario government. You always had there's always like assistants around the physio clinics, or there was always a kinesiologist without that registered title. I remember actually 2012, I was in my third year of university, and that's when the announcement came out that RKIN was going to be registered. And it was really, really exciting. There's a lot of speculation in terms of, how quickly the profession would take off, in terms of being a little bit more recognized or a little bit more kind of respected in the healthcare community for the broad scope that we have. Experience with the Kinesiology Association in college, they seem like they've done a fantastic job, and hasn't even been 10 years.
Yeah.
In terms of just the content they provide for kinesiologists, it's fabulous. So I didn't exactly jump right into the RKIN profession straight out of university. I kind of took a little bit of a different path. I remember in my fourth year, and this is pretty common, you go to sort of career fairs, or you get close to graduation, you're trying to figure out what you're going to do after
you graduate. Everyone sort of figured out in the last year, right? So
yeah, exactly. It's like, all right, time to make some money. Mm-hmm. So I always loved biomechanics. Sports injuries were a lot of fun in my undergrad at Western. I was at a social, and I just talked to the right person at the right time, who was actually had completed their podorthic education. So podorthics, for those who don't know, is a foot care specialty. It's a 1 year postgrad after your kinesiology undergrad. And you primarily focus it on orthopedic footwear, custom made foot orthotics, and all things musculoskeletal injury based in terms of the foot. Obviously we don't focus on dermatology care, calluses, corns, diabetic systemic issues like a chiropodist or a podiatrist would. Mm-hmm. We're a lot more MSK based. So I got like most kids looking to get into the profession, I got a little exposure in different labs and foot orthotic labs and clinics. And I was really fascinated by the mix of clinical work, right? We're seeing clients same as any registered kinesiologist, physiotherapist, chiropractor, all the different therapists would see clients. And then on the other side, we actually are really thoroughly trained on manufacturing custom foot orthotics, which is really cool. Like I always, my dad's worked in construction, so I grew up, power tools in my hands all the time, helping him do this and that. So it's a nice mix, depending on where you go. It's a nice mix of, you can kind of get your hands a little dirty, and then you can also help patients sort of in the front end of the clinic. I've been a podorthist since 2014. 2018, I decided to write my RKIN. And the decision to do that, it wasn't really challenging. Basically, the further I got into my podorthic career, I was realizing that there's such a massive lack of rehab for the foot. or at least at the time, there's such a lack of awareness that you can rehab the foot from a strength and conditioning perspective. And obviously, you know, like, you know, most people listening to this podcast, you grew up, you know, whether it's athletics or you do strength and conditioning yourself. You know, you go to the gym and everyone's working out, you know, biceps, thighs, and right, biceps, all thighs,
groups, yeah, yeah.
Thighs and chest rather. And no one's doing anything for their base, right?
Yeah.
So I've always had this sort of idea of like, you know, you need to build your base before you build everything else on top.
For sure.
So you know, I'm 5 years into my podorthic career, and I'm spending so much time with clients, trying to coach them and teach them that, like, you know, you can strengthen, there are muscles in the foot, you can strengthen and get stronger down there. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of clued in that, you know what, if I get my ARCHIN designation, one, that gives them some, a little bit more credibility to be delivering that that message and that sort of those sort of foot and ankle rehab programs to clients, and quite frankly, you can start billing for it as well. Mm-hmm. Right, there's not an insurance plan on earth that I've seen that covers podorthic assessments, but it's growing in popularity where they'll cover kinesiology assessments, which again is really exciting for the profession. Yeah,
definitely. So yeah, with that, obviously you went to school, worked as a podorthist, and then wrote your ARCHIN exam to become a registered kin. Along the way, I know I'm just looking back at like your LinkedIn, and that's one thing when I was chatting with you, you worked as a lifeguard, yeah. you know, people I know. And then you had a few sort of internships, and you had some time as well working shortly as a kin, as well as in Australia, I believe you did a short little stint there. Anything during that work, once you sort of finished school, that has helped you in sort of what you are today in terms of the experience? Like, I'm sure your internship probably played a large role into you actually committing to staying as a podorthist.
Yeah, so I kind of get my toes in a lot of different clinics, different types of clinics serving different types of populations. Really just some advice I got going through my undergrad, you know, it's best to find out before you graduate what you like and what you don't like, so you can kind of pivot early if you need to, right? You don't want to find out, you know, 5 years into your career, you don't like to work in a, you know, whatever type of role. I did a lot of, you know, in like high school, you do a lot of volunteering at physio clinics, and then, you know, at some point you want to get a paycheck for it. So, I had a few different stints with just working either under or with physiotherapists, training people. I did a little bit of time with a physio med clinic in the north end of Toronto. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot of strength training and really transitioning clients from a acute rehab plan to essentially maintenance, right? It's like, okay, we've rehabbed this injury. Well, now let's keep you strong. Let's make sure it doesn't come back, which I think is a lot of, you know, most ARCHINs that are working in some sort of therapy role are probably in that position. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed that. And that actually ties in directly with how I practice as a podorthist. So the clinic I work at right now, it's called Align Custom Fit Footwear. We mostly market and you know, are bringing in clients that are looking to either optimize the function of the shoe where they're in, or they come in with a foot or ankle ache or pain, and they're looking at advice on, you know, getting rid of the pain or just moving better. So, you know, podorthic school focuses quite a bit on foot and ankle, and then they sort of leave, you know, there's a bit of coverage in terms of like knee and hip function, but they really leave it to your kinesiology undergrad to, you know, like recall, you know, how that translates. And I was always just found this disconnect where it's like, okay, well, the hip drives gait, right? The hip drives movement, right? Like your glute and your hip complex isn't firing properly, like you're never going to have a functional foot. So my time spent in physio clinics as a kinesiologist has actually added quite a bit to the way I treat clinically now. Sure. Yeah, I can design a nice custom foot orthotic for whatever reason the client feels they need it, but also add a lot of rehab and education in terms of like, look, if you want to strengthen this foot or the mechanism of the closed kinetic chain of the foot, there's a lot of work that we can do to get there, right?
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to just circle back to sort of what you were talking about there for a moment about how your work as a kinesiologist has helped you in your clinical work now as a podorthist in terms of like more of the rehab focus. Before we go a little bit more in depth in terms of your day-to-day job as a podorthist, do you typically like, yes, you do all your moldings, all the sort of inserts, all the things, but do you typically in your practice like actually prescribe exercises and stretches for people to do with their feet as well? Is that part of it? Is it common for other podorthists to also do that? Is it just people who have that exercise background? I just want to get an idea about that because that's really interesting two things to put together.
Yeah. I would guess it's probably it's totally anecdotal, but probably 25-30% of podorthists are probably mixing in some foot and ankle exercise program. I spend a lot of time, sometimes a little too much time, trying to convince people to take care of themselves a little bit more than they might want to sometimes. The population we tend to, so like foot orthotics are seen by a lot of people as a sort of a magic tool that can quickly fix a problem. And they can be, right? Like if you were if you think of a rigid foot orthotic as a brace, right? You have some like acute tendinopathy going on in the foot, you brace it up, you decrease the load, pain's going to go away. It's not necessarily the best long-term treatment plan.
For sure.
Because you have to rehab after that. So I've actually transitioned the way I design custom orthotics to be a lot more flexible, mobile, and dynamic. So at our company, we design them not differently from, it's not like we're pioneering this brand new technology that's never been done before, but it's pretty uncommon in the custom foot orthotic industry to be making soft-based dynamic devices that do much more than just provide arch support. There's a bit of a reputation in the industry that everyone's making these rigid, hard 4-millimeter thick plastic orthotics that take up your whole shoe. Exactly. It's the reputation. So I really like to design. It depends on the client, right? So you got a client that comes in and they want something that's just gonna be this magic tool and to brace their foot up, and that's what they've been using for 20 years.
Yeah.
You got to work with that, right? It's all about expectations. But for those that are willing to learn, I will spend a lot of time actually going through a rehab program, teaching them foot and ankle exercises. And you just have to, the biggest piece of advice I give to other podorthists out there that are listening to this, or other kinesiologists that work in a clinic that provide custom foot orthotics, they're provided by lots of different practitioners. It's set really clear expectations in terms of what they can do and what they can't do. And then expectations in terms of, okay, this exercise rehab program that we've set, 2 days of exercising is going to get rid of your chronic condition or your big ankle dysfunction. But if you really, really want to go down this route and you want to put the time and the effort in, you can do some really, really impressive rehab, and you can really optimize the function and the posture of the foot more than a lot of people think, daily focus and commitment to an exercise program. One of the best examples was actually on myself. So like most people in our industry, there's about a three and a half months where everyone was sitting at home doing nothing at the start of the pandemic. We're all coaching people online, trying to find something. So I didn't have a whole lot to do other than read and cook good food all day during the pandemic. So I've got as I said earlier in our discussion, I've pretty much every injury under the sun you can name. My left limb, I've done a number of really bad injuries on, mostly when I was younger, early teens playing soccer, hockey, all that. So long story short, I'm in my 30s and now this left limb's a problem. I've got a slight leg length difference. My left foot is quite flat and planous. Basically, I've got a bunch of repetitive ankle sprains on that side. That's part of the problem. When pre-COVID, we're all busy, we're all in our careers, we got family, friends, and all this stuff. So you don't necessarily put in as much rehab time as you'd like to. The 3 months off was wonderful, and I legitimately committed every single day. I put at least a half hour of work into that left limb. And I took this planus weak, you know, this flat weak foot posture, and was able to pop it up and really, really connect my central nervous system to the, you know, your foramen or muscle groups in the lower limb. And I was surprised in how successful I was with my own.
Yeah, even though you probably preach that all day, right? You're like, oh, yeah, it actually does work, right?
Exactly, right? So since then, I've kind of had that story to share with clients where it's like, look, if you it's easier said than done. It's not easy, but if you can commit the time and the effort into like a regimented program, then you can do that.
No, that's fantastic that you add those two things together, because I think it just makes sense, because I know myself as a kinesiologist working with a little different sort of clients, that some have orthotics and like you said, they're really rigid, and it's like, okay, this is the problem solved, when really it's an aid to it. I mean, whether that's plantar fasciitis or whatever different things, that's like, yes, absolutely, that helps support you, and you mean gets rid of the pain, but there are different things like exercises and stretches and other rehab protocols that you can go through that would help you diminish that, or not even need potentially that sort of hard plastic or orthotic in your shoe. And like you were saying, you can have a more dynamic one that kind of actually moves with you a little bit more, allows a little bit more freedom, so then your muscles can actually do the jobs they're supposed to if you actually train them to do that. And what you just explained there was a perfect example of, you know, I mean, having that commitment level is challenging for anyone, but when it gets done correctly, you do see results. So you definitely probably preach that, like you said, tell that story all the time to clients, right? You're like, I did it. Yeah. I believe in this. I know it works. You just got to put in the time. So that's really interesting, because I'm sure if you didn't have as much of that kinesiologist background, you probably wouldn't really include that as much, because I'm assuming in your podorthic education, did you guys get a lot of information or education on like exercises and stretches? And if so, is it just people don't have the time or to include that sort of in treatment plans, I guess?
It's definitely included in the content you're taught through school. Most podorthic students have a kinesiology undergrad, just based on how the profession markets the profession. So it's, you know, I'd guess 90% of students writing the podorthic exam have an RKIN background. So I think the program's sort of designed on the fact that you have that foundational information, and you know, you understand strength and conditioning, biomechanics, like the basic stuff before the program. And then they really, so it's a one-year program. For anyone who's curious, you can definitely reach. Yeah, definitely reach out to me and I'll chat your ear off about whatever you want to know podorthics. And honestly, if anyone wants to do like a shadowing day or see what it looks like in person, I'm more than happy to take on
that. That's awesome. Everyone heard it here first. I'll make sure to put all of this information after. You guys can spam it if you're curious. We'll chat a little bit about Align and all that stuff in a moment. But go on.
Oh my goodness, where was I?
Just talking about, like, we were talking about podorthics and like that, if exercise and stretching is included, and you're saying kinesiology generally, they're kinesiology undergrads.
Coming through the podorthic program. So the podorthic program, like there's a lot of information they pack into a 1 year program. So it's 1 year long. It's straight out of kinesiology undergrad. It's all placement based. So you're in clinic, you're in an orthotic manufacturing facility, you're in a footwear retail/ podorthic clinic. So you're learning hands-on the whole time, which is really nice. It's, in my opinion, it's the fastest way to learn. After 4 years of lectures in your undergrad, you just want to get your hands dirty.
Yeah, I didn't learn anything in undergrad, so I'll tell you that. All the hands-on stuff, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 90% of what you learned after school, yeah. In terms of lectures, there's a bit of content on strength and conditioning, but they focus way more on, they want to make you a complete expert on foot and ankle biomechanics, musculoskeletal. You know, coming out of your kin undergrad, you probably breeze through the anatomy of the foot and ankle pretty quickly. There's so much other stuff to memorize. So obviously you have to become an expert on the lower limb. And I think just a lot of podorthists that have that kin background, just based on a handful of colleagues I have, the later they get in their career, they start to add more rehab, right? Because they realize that the bracing option or the bracing concept of an orthotic works for a lot of people, but doesn't work for everyone, right? So you need some other tools in your kit. And I love what you said earlier. Like, I really think of a custom foot orthotic as a tool, not a long-term, or not a permanent solution. For some people, it's a long-term solution, but it's not a permanent solution. Like, there's so many other things you need to do, including footwear, to optimize the way you move. But like the podorthic and kinesiology, they tie together so perfectly. It's a really, like, if anyone's curious and they're looking to sort of whether they're a podorthist or a kinesiologist and they're looking to add another profession to their mix, or just expand their scope, like they tie together so well when you're
seeing it definitely makes sense. Like, that's where I see, like, there's a lot of promotions as well. Like, there's like 1 year massage as well, right? Because it just makes sense, because you learn so much in your undergrad that you can easily transition that, the human body, to massage or to different things. So I definitely looked at, like, podorthics. There's like, that's something that's really interesting, because just like you, I played soccer, still playing soccer, probably roll my ankle every other game. And I have the flattest feet. I always wore like indoor soccer shoes all through high school. I mean, so I definitely could probably learn a little bit about what you did for your own ankle for myself. But all that sort of stuff can definitely, the kinesiology undergrad can really help you with a lot of things. And I think podorthics is a good option. I know I shadowed a little bit just when I finished school, like we were saying, like trying to figure it out and all that. But what I wanted to go a little bit more in depth of now is just quickly scrolling here on your LinkedIn, you start working in different sort of locations. You worked in one, you worked at the walking mobility clinics, and then you moved on to Align, where you're now the regional director, which, congrats, that's awesome. Congratulations on that. But I wanted you to chat a little bit about your sort of day-to-day as, I'll say, a podorthist. And then you can add a little bit of your extracurricular stuff that you have to do as the director as well, just so we can get an idea about your role as a kinesiologist and podorthist as well.
So I'm still seeing clients quite a bit. I definitely don't want to stop seeing clients. The sort of move into the regional director roles, it's really just sort of training management and making sure that operations in the clinic are humming really well, so clients have really good experience, and obviously keeping the schedule booked up very important. So clinically, I spend probably during my assessments, like I interchange sort of the kinesiology podorthic hat. Obviously, someone comes in, they're coming for a kinesiology assessment, they're aware, right? We're focusing mostly on that that kin focus. So if someone's coming in, they just want foot orthotics or they want footwear advice, we're doing sort of that podorthic assessment.
For sure.
But they just always end up blending, right? Like, there's just so much overlap. So the way we do things, we do what's called a body align assessment. So it's a 1 hour long appointment. It includes a 15 minute tutorial on how to buy footwear. Main reason is you want custom foot orthotics for whatever reason. I can do the most thorough evaluation. I can be the most brilliant clinician in the entire world, make the perfect custom orthotic, teach you 10 exercises to do, and if it doesn't go into a shoe that functions the way your foot functions or moves with your hip, the whole treatment plan goes out the window. So a lot of the time when you come to see a podorthist, you're going to get a lot of advice on footwear, whether it's running shoe, casual shoe, dress shoe, this or that. In terms of our assessment, like, we do full head to toe evaluation, similar to any kinesiologist, physio would do. And then we get people walking on a treadmill. We'll do like a slow motion gait analysis on a video, like a video screen. We mark it up with an app called Coach's Eye. It's pretty popular. And we use that to really show clients their dysfunction. Even for clients who don't have an AKR pain, we actually get a lot of clients coming in that just have a proactive mindset, which is really nice. It's really nice having a client come in that's, it doesn't happen all the time, but they're pain-free. It happens quite a bit at Align, actually. They're totally pain-free and they're coming in, they're like, hey, my brother came and, you guys fixed this and that. And he said the appointment was really cool. And I just I wanna know if I move well or not, which I think is really exciting. And I think that's a direction the allied healthcare profession needs to hopefully promote a lot more, is getting people to care about their MSK system, right? Like as a whole.
For sure.
And we're always telling people, like, you know, if you can correct a small mechanical dysfunction now, you're saving yourself thousands of dollars of rehab or surgeries or who knows what down the road, and a whole lot of time and pain. So that's how we think of our, you know, our client experience every time someone comes in. And then our treatment plans can range anywhere from just coaching people on their footwear, whether they have good shoes themselves. Like we'll tell people, you know, bring all your shoes, bring 10 pairs of shoes. I guarantee one of them is good for you. You probably just don't know which one it is, right?
Yeah.
Or one of them's like legitimately causing your pain and we literally just need to upgrade the shoe.
A lot of
our clients are coming in looking for custom foot orthotics. And then just depending on how dysfunctional they are, it'll be a little harder, a little softer. And then if clients are really interested in the rehab section, I'll typically book a follow-up appointment. Just the way we structure, we you can only pack so much in a 1 hour session. I'll let clients know. I'll say, you know, look, you've got, you know, ankle dysfunction going on, you know, 50% is being driven from the foot, 50% is being driven from the hip. I can optimize and improve the way your foot moves, you know, these percentage points, but the hip is a big, powerful joint. Like it drives a lot of motion. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether you come back and see me and I give you some sort of like preliminary work to do that, to do with in terms of like fixing a pelvic alignment or a pelvic rotation, or we send you off to a physiotherapist, like it's a really important component in your treatment plan. And I think people really appreciate that. There's a lot of people that have bad experiences in healthcare. I think they're, you know, they maybe seen someone who is trying to fix it all. And I think one of the most valuable lessons I've learned in my career is like, if you can't fix something or you just don't have the tools on hand or it's just, something's just not 100%, just be honest with the client and be like, look, the human body is really complex, right? You can't pretend to like figure out you're going to find root cause in 45 minutes on every single client. And sometimes there needs to be follow-up. So that's it. In terms of the like assessments, that's kind of my style with assessment. I try to give people like a short-term plan or a long-term treatment plan. So at my company, I'm seeing clients about 3.5 days a week. And then the other day and a half, I'm basically making sure operations are humming really well, keeping the schedule booked up, keep training other clinicians. So we've got a mix at our clinic. We've got two. So I'm a kinesiologist and a podorthist. We've got a podorthist and athletic therapist on staff. And then we have two chiropodists. We're always looking for new talent. So anyone keen on joining our team and learning from a group of different type of foot care specialists, we're definitely a fun group. We always like to collab. We'll do case studies on challenging clients. And it's really helpful that we take those videos, right? So we can, you know, come in as a group and we find some,
for sure,
you know, really challenging case and put four brains together, you can get some really good results. And right now, that's really my week to week. I guess the exciting part of the regional director role, I just love teaching people. I love coaching. I love mentoring. Sure. I love training.
Yeah, at that level, that's all. That's what a lot of it is. Like you said, it's the operations, exactly. It's the teaching, it's managing everything. Especially if you like it, and that's something too. With in my like previous roles as a kin, it's like okay, I want to move up, but I like teaching, so it makes sense in terms of moving into more managerial roles, especially helping newer kinesiologists or podorthists, or helping onboarding, or you mean educating the client and making sure their experience is good, because that's what they remember is the experience when they go through that. Yep. So with in terms of your sort of day to day, just as a podorthist, typically is I'm trying to think how to frame this. People come in for the assessment to get their orthotics, and that's like the main assessment. And then you said you may book them in if they're interested in more rehab stuff for a follow-up. But typically speaking, are most of your sessions like one-off, one-time assessments? Are they two, or are they like three plus? Like, what would you say the ratio is there? I know I have an idea. Like, most people probably come in just for the orthotic, get some education, and they're on their way sort of thing. But I wanted to hear that from your end.
Yeah. So, like, certainly 90% of clients are coming in. They're getting their orthotic, being on their way, and it's just the industry. There's nothing wrong with that. Like that's just, you know, that's the mindset of the client. But then there are 10% that get really, really engaged with our concept of body alignment, which is, again, it's how most therapists are viewing the body nowadays. Everything's connected, fascial chains and all this.
For sure.
Those are the fun clients, right? Because you get to see them again, you build a little bit more of that for personal sure. relationship. Don't get me wrong, like manufacturing custom orthotics is inherently fun, but when that's 90% of what you do, it can get mundane or it can seem sure. Repetitive. So you get that 10% of people that like really they're as excited as we are as kids about like muscles and bones and body movement. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Which I'm always reminding myself that like, okay, not everyone cares about this as much as I do.
Yeah. Some stuff. People just like, okay, like, thanks. You're like,
yeah. It's like, all right, foot nerd. Great. but it's fun, right? So you get someone back. And then the cool thing is like every now and then you get someone who commits to the rehab plan. Right. So typical case, you've got a 15-year-old teenager, just completely plano valgus flat foot, right? There's central nervous system control of the deep posterior group, which will pop that arch up, and there's potential. And I've got a couple of tricks where I'll show the parents and I'll be like, look, like there's a lot of potential here. We just have to train his brain. And every now and then you get a kid, right? There's always an incentive you have to kind of toss in to get them to commit to, you know, like remember you're 15, you weren't exactly just going to jump all over a strength and conditioning
for sure. coach.
Or strength and conditioning program, but right, if you can get it into their head that, you know, this is going to make improve your soccer skills, it's going to make you a faster cross country athlete, or it's going to prove this or that, they buy in. And I've had a couple results where you know we made a functional custom orthotic, it's improved the posture of the foot by 20%. Like you really can't correct 100%, and especially with someone's first time getting a custom orthotic.
Yeah.
And then the idea really is, you know, the custom orthotic is putting you into a more neutral, I don't even like neutral posture, so a more efficient posture.
Sure.
So that the four major muscle groups of the lower limb are working in coordination, and then the central nervous system starts learning that repetitively. But on top of that, you got to start strengthening the muscle groups, right? And getting the right muscles firing at the right time. So that's the cool part where, you know, we'll have like a pediatric case come back 6 months later, and their foot posture index has actually improved, not on the orthotic, like barefoot, right? Mm-hmm. And it's because they've been wearing the orthotics consistently, which is stimulating the central nervous system, and they've been doing the exercises on top of that. I have a few cases where it actually like increased the height of the orthotic, like as years go on, in terms of like the arch profile. And it gets to the point where it's like, you know what, you don't need these 24/7, right?
Nice.
You might benefit from them when you're doing your 10K runs, or you now work the factory, yeah, and you're
again, it's a tool, right? Like you said.
Yeah, exactly. But like you can now go walk on a beach barefoot and be fine and keep up with your friends, and that's cool.
Yeah.
But the sad part is society. Most people don't want to buy into that, so it's a little bit. It's the same with Arkin. Like it's frustrating.
Yeah, that's like the same with a lot of health professions. It's like you typical like, oh, your physio sent home the exercises. They're like, yeah, and they lose the papers. I don't know. So it's always the best that you have when you have clients that are really engaged. Like you said, that 10% that's really willing to commit, and especially when you see the results in yourself, you see the results in clients, you see that. You mean they put in the work and you can see that they get the results, and it makes you reaffirm like what you're doing is like helping them. Because I'm sure there's people that you do the assessment on, they get the orthotic and you never see them. You're like, is that actually helping them? And so it's definitely nicer. So one thing, because I'm actually learning a lot from what you're hearing, like I had a basic understanding of a podorthist. And obviously when you think of that, you think solely just like the foot. You maybe would think some of the lower limb, but definitely like as you said, the hip and all that does play a lot of alignment with rotation, I'll say like posture, neutral, whatever you want to call it. With all that sort of knowledge that you were sort of talking about, was that all from school? Was that more from you learning that on the go from your placements or from work? Or was there different sort of courses or books or other resources that you use to really help build up your knowledge base to make you the clinician you are today?
I think it's honestly mostly just practical experience and working with a lot of really great clinicians. So I've got throughout the several different places I've worked since 2014, I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of different podorthists, a few physiotherapists, and I'm currently working with some chiropodists and a really bright athletic therapist who are so passionate and dedicated in their field. And they're the types of people who wanted to push the boundaries and kind of question old norms and move forward, which is exactly how my mind works. And it sort of pushed my curiosity to kind of think beyond the standard gold standard protocols that we all learn. And the biggest thing I find in terms of gain analysis, so I mean, if you want to simplify what I do all day, my day to day, this would have been a good answer 20 minutes ago. It's gain analysis. So I'm just watching people walk nonstop. It's not only at work. I go walk in the mall or go walk in a park, and like I can't stop myself from just analyzing people's gait. That's every podorthist under the sun. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing that really improve my skill set is noticing patterns in foot types, right? So you've got, to oversimplify, you've got a higher foot, lower foot, you know, pes rectus foot. There's have quite a few more foot types than that, but they generally all tend to move the same way because they all generally have the same types of dysfunctions and the same muscle groups get stronger and weaker. Early in my career, I had someone kind of like tell me to like, you know, focus on patterns and types of injuries that are common with different types of foot types, and the dots will just start connecting quite a bit faster. Most of my clinical skill set, I'd say, is two things. One, just being really busy all the time and seeing tons of patients, which is important. Like, you just got to get your reps in. Like, you're not going to know it all in your first year. You have to test and trial and do a little trial and error. And the second two is just find, you know, really seek really intelligent, skilled, passionate people to learn from, so they'll push you to become smarter, right? Like, if you ever feel like you're the smartest person in the room, you got to go to a new room, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. Nice. Yeah, that's definitely some things. I know at the end, typically, I leave some time for like advice, but like, yeah, that's awesome, and I totally agree with all that you're saying there.
Yeah.
More so than was there any? So yeah, you're saying obviously you have your underlying knowledge from your kin degree and then your podorthics diploma. And then on top of that, of course, your day-to-day putting in the reps and learning. Is there any like courses that you took or books that you would like recommend if people are interested in podorthics or learning more about like the foot and gait and all that as well?
So one of the probably the best, I'm unfortunately not gonna remember the name of it right now. But I can definitely email it to you later. And I don't know if there's a way to get it linked to the podcast, but
Maybe I'll pop. Thomas, I don't know. I'm going to make this into a video. Maybe I'll pop up a picture of the
book
or somewhere here.
Exactly. Right here. Tom Michaud is a chiropractor out of the States, and he is brilliant. If you can ever get a chance to just listen to him speak about human anatomy and gait biomechanics, it's just, he's just fascinating. Like, he just you can listen to him for hours. He actually, so our Podorthic Association has a symposium every year, and he always comes, and the house is packed. His lecture will be like 2 hours long. At the end of the 2 hour lecture, like, no one gets up. They're all like, no, keep going, keep talking. So he's got a number of gait analysis and foot and ankle textbooks. Again, the name's going to escape me, but Thomas Michaud, you'll be able to, M-I-C-H-A-U-D. Yeah, M-I-C-H-A-U-D. You'll be able to find them. He's quite good.
Human locomotion.
Thank you. Human locomotion. So that's one of our core, that's like the core book for podorthics as we're going through our program. If you can find any lectures online by him or he's usually speaking at, symposiums and conferences, that sort of thing, the physio kin podorthic realm, he's quite good. In terms of books, I haven't cracked open a textbook in years. Probably should.
Yeah, don't worry. Yes.
One really good podcast is The Gait Guy.
So, The Gait Guy.
Yeah, the Gate guys. So it's two chiropractors, different chiropractors out of the States, and they are brilliant. They're just like, they may as well be physiatrists. You know, they probably have more knowledge than your average physiatrist, but they're just clearly so passionate about healthcare. Like, they, you know, they deep dive on all these topics. They have a really robust podcast with a lot of different subscription options and free options. But they get they're very focused on the neurology of gait, which is something that I think is often looked over when you go through physio, podorthic. I haven't gone through physio school, but I've talked to lots of friends who are physios. You know, podorthic, physio, kin school, like the neural component and the component, like how important the central nervous system is to MSK, injury and function, is really important. Obviously, your muscles are controlled by the CNS. So they talk a lot about how neurology affects a lot in terms of chronic pain and pain management and rehab. And they're a lot of fun to listen to. So there's a good year where that was all I listened to on my commute. I had a 1 hour commute for about a year of my life, and they sort of challenged me to think a little bit differently in terms of analyzing musculoskeletal conditions and gait analysis. So they're a really good podcast to listen to. I can't think of any other recommendations off the top of my head.
No worries. Yeah, if anything comes up, to all the listeners or to the people that are watching, I'll link as much as I can in the show notes of things that we talked about, regardless of what we talk about today. I'll make sure to link all of it in the description. So what I wanted to sort of, I guess, wrap up with some stuff is, I know you already have sort of chatted about some like advice for people who are either looking to become a podorthist or beyond that. I wanted to kind of wrap things up and kind of get your thoughts about where you see the future of kinesiology going, or as an art kin. So I know, coming in as an art kin, you're using that as your practice, and I'm sure you interact maybe with some other kins. But from your perspective, where do you see the future of like registered kinesiology going in Ontario?
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of potential. I say this to clients regularly. It would be amazing if, as a society, we started taking our posture and our musculoskeletal system as seriously as our dental and our eye care, right? It's obviously heavily based on people's third-party insurance plans, but right, like, people are going for checkups for their teeth every 9 to 12 months, as you should. Everyone just waits for the rest of their body to fall apart, right?
Definitely.
It drives us nuts, because we practice this every single day. But I think there's a ton of potential to get to the point where kinesiologists can be the leaders in posture and body alignment, right? Just like coaching people and guiding people on how to move pain-free, move effectively, move efficiently. I'm always telling clients, like, there's no, like, in my career, I've never seen someone with perfect biomechanics. It doesn't exist. Everyone's got something going on. Everyone's got an injury, or they sit a certain way or whatnot. But it's really powerful when you can show someone a dysfunction that they've had, that they've been feeling for years, and they just assume it's normal, and all of a sudden you show them a new way and they just feel better. So I think there's an opportunity to make a norm to see someone like a kinesiologist for just like a movement screen, right? Like, it should just be part of your regular health cycle.
Yeah, like, you have your annual checkup, you have other check-ins to look at your movement health, for sure.
Exactly. Because like, everyone, generally you go to see a healthcare practitioner because you've waited so long that you need treatment, like you're looking for treatment. Like, it honestly is, and I did not experience this with the clinic I used to work for, because we marketed primarily to pain, right? To like more geriatrics and pain. So that's, you know, what you market is what you get. Whereas the clinic I'm working at now, we really push the proactive mindset. It's like, look, come in for a body alignment screen. Let's just see if you move efficiently, right? Either do or you don't. And if you don't, here's some options in terms of what you can do. Here's some other specialists if we can't help you out in house. It's important stuff. So many people just expect to need a knee replacement when they're 50, right? It's like, like a lot of this stuff can be prevented with just like being aware of movement dysfunctions and taking care of it early. So I think it's an opportunity for kinesiologists to be really proactive in their communities and push the message of proactive healthcare. Yeah, because a lot of people are going to physios and chiros and massage therapists once it's a chronic or acute pain and they really need the help, right? So yeah, if we can be those sort of leaders in the proactive mindset, there's an opportunity there.
Absolutely. And that's something like that I preach all the time on this podcast and other people's, like, kinesiologists can really be those, that group to really, you mean, when you have that issue, you're thinking about that, you want to think, oh, I should see a kinesiologist. You know what I mean? Just as much as like, oh, you know what I mean? I have a rotator cuff injury, I go see a physio, or low back pain, I see a chiro. Like, we have to develop something where there's a trigger and it's like, okay, like, I mean, I need to start thinking about this, or I should see a kinesiologist. And I think that's something that we need to harness. So then we can become those professionals, mainly here in Ontario. And then as the profession grows in other provinces in Canada and around the world, that it can be sort of that mainstay. So that's what I'm really hopeful as well.
And I like the idea of like being like a lifestyle coach. So this is something that one of the guys I work with right now kind of got into my head. It's you know, you're not seeing someone and treating them and never seeing them again. Like, if you want to build up a clientele, like you need to build that trust. And you know, kinesiologists, we can almost think of ourselves as like movement coaches, right?
For sure.
Like it's you know, you're not coaching a soccer team anymore. You're coaching grown adults that need to go to work and make a living. So it's you know, whether that helps kind of people make that connection for their clients, where it's like, you know, like, I want to be your trusted source for all things MSK.
For sure.
If I need to refer you somewhere else, I will, but you know, most of these basic movement things, like, you know, we can do as a team together.
No, totally agree with that.
Yep.
So I want to just wrap up here, Brandon, and say thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You were very, very, had so much information to share. Talk a lot about Podorthix. Like, I'm gonna go and look up some stuff, because I definitely have my own clients that have some sort of lower limb foot issues that I'm like, okay, I'm trying some things, maybe I need to do a little bit more research, maybe I need to refer them to a podorthist that also can help them with some more specialized rehab or exercise, or maybe they need some different footwear or recommendations. So I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show today, Brandon.
Yeah, thanks for coming. It was a lot of fun. No surprise, we filled up an hour.
I know, that's not exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm surprised I kept it under an hour.
So I was like, okay, we got to start wrapping up before we start to go too far. I know we could have chatted forever about lots of things, and I know you have so much knowledge, and I know if I have ever questions, I'll definitely be reaching out to you and anyone who's listening. Like Brandon's saying, if you're interested in Podorthix, you can reach out to Brandon. I'll put his LinkedIn down below. I'll see if he wants to give his email. I don't know. We'll find out. I'll ask him after. But there's definitely a lot of different avenues you guys can reach out and learn more about Podorthix, about Align, about Brandon. And I'll make sure to leave that all, like I said, down in the show notes. And lastly, I just want to say thank you to all the listeners. Of course, thank you guys for taking your time out today to listen to this, hopefully this full podcast. And as you can see, it's a little bit more of a newer format now. We're doing video, so I can hopefully make little pieces of content, release that to get a little bit more interest. So if you guys know of any other RKINs, yourself as well, Brent, if you know any other kinesiologists that would be a good fit, that are doing really interesting things in the space, you guys can send me an email directly at makingconnections@gmail.com. And other than that, make sure you check out our LinkedIn, Facebook. Follow us there on Instagram. I'm going to try to start to produce some more content there to follow along instead of just releasing the podcast. So again, I just want to say thank you to everyone listening. Thank you, Brandon. And thank you, everyone. And hopefully you guys enjoy this new format, and we'll see you guys soon. Take care.